at the early service. Well, right before it, I was hanging around trying to get a lay of the land, and I heard a couple of people saying, "Who's this guy?" My name's Richard Norman. I'm canon for mission and ministry. I was here only one other time, and that was when Father Brian was made your rector, and that was at the celebration for ministry. And it was a great celebration. I was happy that the traffic this morning was not like it was that evening. I'm still getting used to the seasonal traffic and all. I've joined the bishop's staff in April, having moved here from my home state and the diocese that ordained me of Western Louisiana. Matthew, organist, if you selected Picardy as our gospel hymn, good on you, mate. That's great. Did y'all listen to the words that we sang? Are they not the most profound words? In my 25 years of priestly ministry, whenever I've had that time where it's been time to accept a call to somewhere else, I've always asked for that to be played. I was able to keep tears back, but it's an incredibly moving piece of music that we have, and so apropos for John's gospel this morning, and particularly my favorite portion is that last verse that talks about the seraphs and they're covering their eyes. I speak in the name of God who loves us and holds us in the palm of his hand. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes Christmas can seem like a blur. All right, so I see people here chuckling. I take that as an affirmation, right? Raise your hand if Christmas was a blur for you. All right. Father, it wasn't for you? No, that's good. You're taking the right medicine. Well, it is oftentimes a blur. This year was my first year with 26 years ordained, 25 as a priest, where I was not at an altar on Christmas Eve. Because of my new role on the bishop's staff, I don't have a home church. My wife and kids, about twice a month, they end up going to the cathedral in St. Petersburg. I found out after I got here that the dean there is my cousin. Our great-grandfathers were brothers. I'm about 10 years older than Stephen, and so I didn't run in the same circles as he did, but I was at his house yesterday, and it was like this mafia from Louisiana were there. And we all were interrelated, legally. So anyway, I was off. I've had maybe three Christmas days where I was off. When I served at the Cathedral in Minneapolis, I was the sub-dean there, sort of the COO kind of thing. And we had enough priests that on about every third year, I could get a Easter day off. And that allowed me to travel with my kids from Minneapolis to take them down to Louisiana to see my mom. So this was a new experience. And so Friday night, our daughter Olivia, who's 14, had a sleepover with one of her best friends in St. Pete that she met at Day Spring. That's our camp, by the way. Great camp. And I had to go pick her up on Saturday morning, and then we were running late, and we finally packed up the car, hit the road about 3:30, 4 o'clock for a 14-hour drive to Alexandria, Louisiana, which is in Rapides Parish. We don't have counties, we have parishes. And we spent the night, made it to my hometown in Alexandria, where we were spending Christmas with my aunt and her family. We had 18 people gathered together, spanning four generations to celebrate Christmas together. And one of my second cousins, Megan, who's about 26, is expecting her second child. So I think we were 18 and a half, considering where she is in her movement with giving birth to this child. And 11 of us were camped out at my Aunt Anne's house. And more than likely, it's going to be the last Christmas at that house as she's getting ready to move to Bay St. Louis to live with her daughter. So we arrived on Sunday afternoon. We rested up. I had to get off to urgent care because the day before I had a sinus infection. That's why I'm a little congested. I'm not contagious. After that, we went off to my cousin Brad's house, and we had crawfish etouffee. And then, y'all know what that is? May we. And then we had a lamb crown roast. You know, our family, like most families in Louisiana, love to eat. We have a saying back home, laissez le bon temps rouler, mon ami. Y'all know what that means? Let the good times roll. And so we do. The next day was Christmas Eve, and I went off to the cemetery to visit my mother's grave. Mama entered the hospital on Christmas Day, 2013. I had just moved to my new parish in Monroe, Louisiana, and she died 6 days later. And so whenever I'm back home, I go and I visit her grave and all my other relatives. Our family used to own that cemetery and operated it for 100 years, and I used to work there. So I go around and I pay visits to family and friends. It was my first Christmas since she died that I was not struggling with grief, and I thank God for that. It's been a long journey. So after getting back from going out to Greenwood, headed off to the 6 o'clock Christmas Eve service at my home church of St. Timothy's in Alexandria. I was ordained a priest there. And then back to my aunt's house for supper, and of course we had to have food, so it was shrimp and corn soup. We exchanged some family gifts, and then we have this wonderful family tradition. How many of y'all watch Christmas movies? Yeah? One of our favorites we watch every year is Die Hard. Y'all, it is a Christmas movie, is it not? So we watched it, and then afterwards, I headed off to Midnight Mass at St. James, the Mother Church, which is in the Garden District of Alexandria, because I wanted the candles, and also my old bishop was presiding and preaching, and I hadn't seen him since I moved here, and to see a few friends. And so that was Christmas Eve. Christmas Day, presents. We didn't go to Christmas Day Mass. Usually I always do, but actually my kids always had to wait open presents until I got home if they weren't serving at the Mass that day. And so everyone kind of said, you know, we're really tired. I think they watched more movies after I left for Midnight Mass. And so we did presents, and it was all hands on deck for this huge meal for 18 of us. And exchanged some presents, we got the meal ready, and then we had, well, it was actually 17, because Megan's husband had to go back, he's a new vet, a veterinarian, and so he had to get back to Washington State, because he had the bad duty of doing Christmas holidays. And on Boxing Day, St. Stephen's Day, the 26th, my wife and my two children flew to New Zealand, and then I got to drive 14 hours back by myself to Florida. I got the short straw. They're having a grand time down there. You know, it's summertime in New Zealand right now. They're visiting her family. So I got to tell you, it's still a bit of a blur. And then yesterday I had to go exchange something that we gave our son, and that was even more blurry when I was at JCPenney. Or as we say in Louisiana, Jacques Penney. Anyway, I am so grateful Christmas is not just one day. I am grateful that Christmas is a season, 12 days. It's so easy for us to get caught up in all the busyness and all the to-dos. In my last parish that I served, I had so many Christmas parties to go to between my family Easter Christmas Mass at 5 and then our Midnight Mass. I felt like I was just kind of running a circuit, you know. And so if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that busyness. And so these 12 days of Christmas provide us an opportunity to just slow down a little bit and an opportunity to reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, and what that really means. So today is the 6th day of Christmas. We're halfway through our Christmas celebration. I used to tell people when I was a parish priest, I'm going to drive around your neighborhood and count and see who put their Christmas tree out early. So we continue our celebration of the birth of Jesus. On Christmas Eve, most likely, hopefully, you heard Luke's account of the birth of Christ. Did y'all? Good. When I was at my home church, the new rector, for some reason, he chose the gospel reading that we just heard today. I don't know what Father Rich was thinking. And that was kind of why I also had to go to St. James, because I wanted to hear the story of Luke. But you know, our reading this morning from John's Gospel is always read when? It's always read on Christmas Day and always read the Sunday after Christmas. Most rectors, most priests or deans, what they do, if they're preaching on Christmas Day, they make sure someone else is preaching the Sunday after Christmas because they don't want to have to grapple with the Word was flesh and was made. You know, all that two times in a row is just too much for some people. You know, it presents a very different narrative of the birth, doesn't it? The imagery is not picture perfect. In the birth of Jesus, the Word was made flesh, and we know that the Word is God. The gift of the Word made flesh is a gift of love. The birth of Jesus is God's gift of God's own self to each and every one of us so that we might be renewed, that we might have a renewed and healthy and wholesome relationship with God our Father. And God's precious gift is a gift freely given, unearned, and unmerited. You know that love without any strings attached? I was a priest for 10 years before we had our first child. Hudson was born, he's 16 now, on a Thursday night. He was in church on Sunday morning with his mama. She's sturdy, hardy New Zealand stock. And I'd prepared this sermon, and when I got to church early that morning, I realized I needed to preach on something else. Because I finally realized after seminary and graduate school, serving in the church as a layman and then being ordained for 10 years, I finally understood what God's love meant. And so it's good for us to remember this gift that God has given us, that God loves each and every one of us regardless of what we did this morning or what we're going to do later today, because his love is an immeasurable love. And don't take my word for it. Listen to the paraphrase from John. God so loved the world that he sent the Son to be our Savior. So this morning, we're going to baptize Ava Grace into the body of Christ. And in doing so, she will come to share with us in God's gift of love. I just love that reading we had from Galatians this morning. It really speaks to what's going to happen at her baptism. God sent his Son in order to redeem us so that we might receive adoption as children of God. In her baptism, going down into waters with Christ, coming up as Christ rose again, coming out of the waters. And yes, we do it by effusion, not by total immersion, but the symbology is still there. She becomes adopted by God, but part of the body of Christ. And through her adoption and our adoption in holy baptism, we're offered the opportunity for renewed or restored in whole relationship with God. Now, Adrian and Hudson and Olivia come back after the 12th day of Christmas. So I gotta fess up here. Our Christmas is still gonna extend a little bit past the 12th day, that is past the 5th of January. Because there's still some Christmas presents left to be opened. And they're going to get back on the 8th when they fly back from visiting her family in New Zealand. So don't tell the liturgical police, please. But I reckon for most of us here, the present opening has finished. Does anyone here keep giving presents through until Epiphany? Raise your hand. Go, sister. Anyone else? Go, sister. Where's the brothers? We used to do that always until last year Hudson, he was 15, and he said, Papa, you've been making us open presents over the 12 days since I was born. You think we can change that this year? And so we changed it. For once, he got immediate gratification. So we will extend it out a little bit. But for most of us, the presents have all been unwrapped. The turkey's been eaten. Back home, they're turning the carcass into gumbo right now. The relatives have gone home and the sales in the shops are of dwindling interest. And they're not fun to be at anyway. I was there yesterday. But Christmas is not over. In these last days before the Epiphany, I'd like to propose that we could do two things Really simple. Two things that we might want to consider doing during the remainder of Christmas. I wondered when I was going to hear that train. I drove across the train track. I said, how often does it come? Cool. Oh, I'm loving it. I gotta tell you, that reminds me, we lived in Minneapolis and there was called the South Minneapolis Pause, because everyone that lived in South Minneapolis, the airplanes flew over their house, and when you're having a barbecue or a party, silence until the next plane. So great. Anyway, I think there are two things that I'd like to propose that we can do for the remainder of our Christmas season. Dang, that's a long train. What's Father do? Does he keep preaching over it? But this is important. I don't want you to miss it. First, we might consider, I'll raise my voice, seeking reconciliation with any person or persons with whom at this very moment we might have a ruptured or a damaged or a broken or unhappy relationship. During this past year, each of us have had many experiences with many different kinds of people. Those with whom we live, those with whom we might work, those with whom we pray, those with whom we play. So for a moment, think about any person or persons with whom you might have a ruptured, unhealthy, or broken relationship. Because, you know, in the course of those events of our life and the interactions, there may have been those moments when those relationships were thrown out of joint, when they were stressed. And then suddenly we find ourselves with a great distance between us. And perhaps we were so busy with our own responsibilities, or perhaps we were so filled with hurt and anger that there was no time, absolutely no time, given the situation, to allow for the experience of grace and reconciliation. Think about such a person. Let's find a way by which we can restore that lost harmony, so that our Christmas gift to ourselves will be peace between ourselves and someone else, and then ultimately God. And here's the second one. It's just as simple. Let's use our imagination. Let's use our imagination and conjure up in our minds a gift of grace that we might give to someone, someone for whom we have no obligation. Someone whose need is not so great that if we don't respond during this season, we will feel guilty, but rather someone upon whom we can confer a personal blessing. It might be to pick up the telephone and call someone. Someone whose life is not tied to ours in any way, but someone about whom we know something. We know something, and with this knowledge as a background, we might offer that someone a word of reassurance, a word of comfort, a word of delight, a word of satisfaction. So that in doing so, we will feel that out of the fullness of our own heart, we have conferred upon some unsuspecting brother or sister a gentle grace. A gentle grace that makes the season of Christmas truly a good, a whole, and a happy season. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.